to 2016, a new year, opportunities, new things for us to consider in this new year. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. You've had a choice when you decided to assemble here upon the first day of the week. First Sunday of a brand new year, you chose to be here, and I appreciate that very much. I appreciate each one in the congregation sticking with us throughout the times that we had last year. We also have visitors with us this morning, and we want you to know how honored we are by your presence. Some of our visitors have become familiar faces to us. We appreciate you also choosing to worship God with us this morning. 2016, what's it going to hold for Manslick Road? What's going to happen to Manslick Road in 2016? Well, we know for sure there will be some changes. And we know also that some things will remain the same. We know that we'll be worshiping the exact same God. God doesn't change in the least. And that's a good thing. We don't have to worry about God giving us new directions. We don't have to worry about God giving us new commandments. We have all God's commandments. We have our standard of life already contained within His Word. And we know if we just simply use that Word, then God doesn't change. And God's standard doesn't change. Doesn't matter what year it is. Doesn't matter if it's 2016 or 2017 or whatever the year is. We also know that our worship service will not change because God's word hasn't changed. We'll be doing the exact same thing to worship God all throughout the year. But there will be changes this year for Manslick Road. There will be changes in that we know that we've got a new preacher coming into town. Ryan and Jessica, we're looking very forward to them starting with us the 1st of June. We're very excited about that, and we know they will be able to do a good work here at Manslick Road. In the next few weeks, we'll be going through a process of selecting new elders, new shepherds for the congregation here, and that's a change. And we know that changes sometimes are difficult to assimilate, but we know that this year will bring about some changes also. We know that we believe that the changes that we will have will help the congregation help us grow. We think it will help the congregation to become even more stable, and that's we're looking forward to the things. But what about you and I? What kind of goals have we set for 2016? Have you set any goals at all? Have you set goals such as that this is going to be the year that you get a new house, new car, maybe look for that better job, maybe you're looking for that great vacation that you've been planning for years and years? Are those the goals that you're setting for 2016? What about your spiritual life? What about my spiritual life? Are you setting any spiritual goals for 2016? Well, I can tell you that God has some expectations for us in 2016, and I know exactly what God's expectation is for you and what His expectation is for me. God expects me and God expects you to be a better Christian this year than you were last year. Let me say that again. God expects you and God expects me to be a better Christian this year than what we were last year. Now, that could be a tall order. That could be a difficult thing to do. But that's what God expects in our lives. Look at the verse in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Peter says, "Beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Then also in 2 Corinthians 14 chapter, Paul says, "Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." It's no secret that our outward shell, our physical body, is perishing. Some days I feel really old, even though I'm only 64 years old. I feel old. But then I come to assemblies such as this, see all of y'all that are in your 90s, makes me feel a little bit younger, and I appreciate you making me feel younger. But we're all perishing. We're all getting older, physically speaking. But God expects our spiritual side, our soul, he expects that to renew every single day, to grow every single day. So that's our charge for this year. How can we accomplish growing in the Lord? How can we accomplish being a better Christian this year than what we were in the past year? Well, obviously, in order to be better, then it's going to involve a lot of personal study. It's going to involve a lot of commitment on our own part, but it's going to require other things also. It's going to require being willing to assemble together in situations such as this and worship and study God's Word together. It's important that you assemble with the saints upon the first day of the week and other assembly times during 2016. It is important for you to attend Bible classes during 2016. These are some of the things that will help us grow in our maturity towards God. Well, as Bob mentioned in our announcements this morning, we are trying to set a theme this year to help us in that particular growth. We are trying to add what is lacking in our spiritual life this year. We would like each of our members to take a personal inventory of your life as it is right now, and then by the end of 2016, we hope that you can see some changes. We hope that you can see some improvements in your life. We hope that each one of us can say to God, yes, I am indeed a better Christian this year than I was in last year. Now, Mark, the 10th chapter talks about that the rich young ruler was only lacking in one thing. I'm not suggesting that we as Christians just lack in one thing, although I think most of us aren't lacking in hundreds of things. There's probably some things that we can concentrate in. But what Bob and I would like the congregation to do this year would be to simply pick out, even if you just pick out one single thing to work on that's lacking in your service to God, just one thing, if you work on that, then you'll have improvements in this year. You might be able to work on more than one thing. Some of us might just be able to work on one single thing. But let's look at what's lacking in our life as a Christian and add to what is lacking. So that's our theme for this year. Now, if I would ask you to make a list of what God expects out of you and what God expects out of me, when we would make a list, it would become a two-column list. On one side of the list, we would have all the things God does not want us to do. Do not do this. Do not do this. Do not do this. But then on the other side of the list, we would have a list of things that God tells us to do. God wants us to do this. 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 Two separate lists. I'm afraid many times we as Christians, when we do personal inventories of our lives, we look at the do not side of the list and we see, God said, don't do all these things. No, I don't do any of those things. I'm a pretty good Christian because I can compare myself to this list. I don't do any of those things. But we fail to realize many times, I think, that even a good moral person of the world who's not even a Christian can say the exact same thing. They can go to God's do not side of the list and say, well, I don't do any of those things. It's really the to do side that we need to concentrate on. And that's the side that I want us to concentrate on this year. The to do side of God's list. What does God want us to do? That's what really separates the Christian from the person of the world. The Christian is really the only person on earth that strives to do or try to do all of what's on God's to-do list. The person in the world doesn't do that. They might pick and choose a couple of things, but they don't try to do everything. God's people, the child of God, tries to do everything on God's to-do list. So that's what I want us to try to do this year. As we find what's lacking in our life, what we should be doing that we're not doing, and trying to make improvements in those areas. So that's what we're hoping to concentrate on this year. But I want us to take it a step further than we normally go in our self-examination. Let me give you an example. Last Sunday, we had two really good lessons, one from Jeremy. Jeremy talked about distractions. He talked about in distractions, you can avoid distractions. That's one of those do not things on God's list. In order to avoid distractions, you need to focus on God. You need to abide in God. And then Chris on Sunday night talked about our relationship with God. And he mentioned that we need to improve our relationship with God. And he said we can do that through prayer. We can do that through study. We can do that through being more dedicated to Christ, more dedicated to God. Both of those excellent lessons. Now, how did you apply those two lessons in your life last week? Did you say, Jeremy's exactly right. I need to be closer to God. I need to abide in God better. I need to focus on God better. Did you say after Chris's lesson, yes, Chris, you're exactly right. I need to pray. I need to study. I need to have a closer relationship with God. And those are good things to think about. But I'm afraid we stop right there many times in our lives as Christians, especially in our self-examination. I want us to take a step further this year. I want us to drill down deeper this year in our applications and not just think about, yes, I need to abide more with Christ. Yes, I need to pray. Yes, I need to study. But think of specific ways that we can become closer to Christ. Think of specific ways that we can pray more. Think of specific ways we can engage in more Bible study. So I want us to concentrate this year on getting more or getting deeper into a self-examination in order to evaluate your life. Then even if you have to write down the things that you need to make improvement in, after you write them down, make a plan of improvement. This is what I'm going to do to improve this area. This is what I can do to improve this area. This is what I can do to improve this area. These are adding to what's lacking. And then once you've made your plan, work your plan all year long. Let's get specific on the things that are lacking in our lives as Christians today. Well, to help us do that, I'm planning on, Lord willing, for the next 5 months until Ryan gets here to have one lesson per month. This will be the first lesson. We'll have four more lessons. We'll be talking about each month some very general areas that Christians usually fail in their service to God. Some very common areas that Christians usually are lacking in their service that they need to do some adding to. So hopefully those further lessons will be of a benefit to you. I know this was kind of a long introduction this morning, but I wanted to get our concept out to you this morning, what Bob and I have been thinking about, and hopefully that you'll understand what we're wanting, and hopefully that you'll find yourself a plan that will help you to be a better Christian this year than what you were last year. Well, let's get into, we'll look at one of the areas that I think people are probably lacking. And it's the same area that Jesus talked about as far as with the rich young ruler. So turn over to Matthew, the 19th chapter. And we'll take a few minutes this morning looking at the story of the rich young ruler. See what Jesus said he was lacking in his service to God. And if that's something that we find ourselves lacking in, then maybe that's one thing we can make improvement in our lives. The story of the rich young ruler we find is contained both in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke. And it takes, all three stories are basically the same, but when you take all three of them together, that's where we really get the term rich young ruler. Because Matthew's account calls the man young. When you go to Mark's account, Mark says the man had great possessions. And then when you go to Luke's account, Luke says the man was a ruler. So that's where we get the idea of rich young ruler. So let's look at what
he has to say to Jesus. Look at, starting with verse 16. Matthew 19, verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." And he said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" When we look at the young man, we can see, I think, through this account, and we look at Mark's account, and we look at Luke's account, we can find many, I think, good traits that this young man has. It says that he's kept God's commands from his youth up. That's really a good thing. I believe that if we would take this man out of the first century in his encounter with Christ and put him in the 21st century and set him right in the middle of the pews in our middle section there, worshiping with us this morning, we would probably think that man's a pretty good Christian. Seems to have things together. Following God's commands, been following God's commands for a long time. And like I said, it seems like he had some good traits. Look at some of the things I think we can get from this story. He had the right motive, I believe, in coming to Christ. Could have came to Christ for a lot of different reasons, but he had the right motive. I think he was sincerely looking for what he lacked in his service to God. He was a man of wealth. He was a man of prestige. He could have came to Jesus to see what he could gain, see what advantage he could get in life through his association with Jesus. Maybe that would help him gain more wealth. Maybe that would help him gain more prestige in his activities. But no, he seemed to honestly be coming to Jesus with the right motive. He seemed to be doing well in his life as God's follower, but he also realized that there was possibly something that he was missing. And if he was missing something in his life, he wanted to know about it. That's good motive. That's a really good motive. And I think that's the motive that this young man came to Jesus. A great motive for us today. What is our motivation for following Jesus? Do we have the right motives in following Jesus? Or are we following Jesus for motives that aren't really as good as those motives? So he had good motives. I think also he had the right attitude. When we look at Mark's account, Mark says that he came in haste to Jesus, which I think has a sense of urgency about it. He says that when he came to Jesus, he knelt down at his feet. Here's a man that's a ruler kneeling at the feet of Jesus. So I think he had the right attitude, that he was humble. He had respect for Jesus. He could have came and looked for things that weren't necessarily the right things, but he had the right attitude in that he was looking for eternal life. He could have been argumentative with Jesus, as many of the Jews were during Jesus' days, but it didn't seem like that he was. But he politely asked Jesus, "What am I lacking? What am I lacking for eternal life?" Well, not only that, but we can see that he came, obviously came to the right source. He came to Jesus. Look over in 1 John with me, 1 John the 5th chapter. 1 John 5. In 1 John 5 and verse 11, John says, "This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." And then down in verse 20, "And we know that the Son of God has come and given us understanding, that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." And also turn on to Acts the 4th chapter. Acts the 4th chapter. And look at, starting with verse 10, Acts 4 and verse 10. Peter in his preaching says, "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, God is raised from the dead. By him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone that was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So the man came to the right source. If he was looking for eternal life, Jesus was the only place he could possibly go. Good lesson for us in our lives today. Are we looking for eternal life? I assume that each one of us in this room are. That's the reason why we're here this morning. We have to always go to the right source. We have to always go to Jesus Christ. Well, finally, good quality about him is that he asked the right question. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Lots of questions he could have asked Jesus. Lots of questions. Many people came up to Jesus. Some came up asking for food. Many people came up to Jesus. "Jesus, show me a miracle. I want to see a miracle out of you." Many came up to him asking him trick questions. But this man asked the right question, the important question: what do I do to inherit eternal life? Question that should be on the lips of each of us this morning as we live our lives. What do I do to inherit eternal life? So good qualities. This man had good qualities, but Jesus said that he lacked. And let's see what he lacked then. As we continue our reading back over in Matthew, the 19th chapter then, look at his response to Jesus' answer to his question. Jesus' answer was, "Keep the commandments," as we saw in the end of verse 17. And then he lists the commandments. Well, his answer in verse 20, "The young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?'" So I think we have an indication here that this man had a problem with pride, that he was a prideful person. He, in his own mind, he in his own thinking thought, "You know, I've done everything that God has asked me to do. I've done it from my youth up. I've continually done what's right in God's eyes." It wasn't what's right in God's eyes. It was what was right in his own eyes. Look back at the commandments once again that Jesus mentions in verse 18. And how would we answer these things? "You shall not murder." Have any of us in this room ever murdered? Well, I don't think that we have. I think we're in good shape there. "You shall not commit adultery." Hopefully all of us in this room could answer that. Yes, we've never done that. But then he says, "You shall not steal." Now that's getting a little more difficult, isn't it? Never taking anything that doesn't belong to you. That's a hard one. That's a hard one to answer. Well, look at the next one. "You shall not bear false witness," or "You shall not lie." Have any of us in this room say that we've never said a lie? That would almost be an impossibility. Then verse 19, "Honor your father and mother." I might be able to convince this audience that I've always honored my father and mother, but my mother is sitting right over here, and she would disagree with that. So I couldn't say that I've always honored my father and mother. "And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So these are commandments that God has. This man is saying, "You know, I'm good with those commandments. I've done all of those. I always do all those." And he really didn't. But in his own mind, he has decided that, yes, he was doing good enough in his own eyes. We need to understand that God expects us to do all of his commandments all the time. So he had a problem, I think, a problem with being prideful. Not only a problem with being prideful, but he had a problem with not submitting to Jesus. Look at what Jesus tells him in verse 21. "If you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." So Jesus says, you want to be complete, you want to be perfect, you want to be what you need to be to inherit eternal life, then take your riches and give them to the poor. But he was unwilling to do that. He was unwilling to submit to Jesus. And that's really the key. That's really the telling factor in our submission to Jesus. It's easy to submit to Jesus when we want to submit to Jesus. That's an easy thing to do. It gets hard to submit to Jesus when we have other ideas about that, when we have other opinions or we have other desires, and then still submitting to Jesus. That's really what Jesus is looking for. That's what this man was unwilling to do. Sell what you have. He had great possessions. Give to the poor. When you have two wills bouncing against one another, his will and God's will, well, one will is going to win out over the other. And in this case, the man's will won out. He was unwilling to submit to Jesus. Well, thirdly, we find one third thing then. He would not give Jesus all of his life. At the end of verse 21, he says, "Come and follow me." What Jesus expects from his people, he expects us to keep his commandments, and he expects us to follow him completely in our lives. We have to totally give our lives to Jesus. Look over what Jesus says over in Luke, the 14th chapter. Luke 14 and verse 23. Luke 14 and 23, Jesus says, "So likewise, whatever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Jesus wants all of us. Jesus doesn't want 99% of us, 99.9% of us. Jesus requires 100% of his children 100% of the time. This man was unwilling to do that. He was unwilling to submit. He was unwilling to give all of his life to Jesus. So that was what the problem was. That was what this man was lacking. That was the one thing that he was really lacking in his life. That was the one thing that was standing between him and eternal life. Total submission to Jesus. Now, is that something that is in our lives today? Is that something that you have a problem with? Maybe that's something that you can write down this year saying, here's some ways I can work on being more submissive to Christ. There are some of the ways I can work on in giving my life completely to Christ. It might not be anything as far as money and possessions, although money and possessions are really important to us. It could be other things. But if it's money, if it's possessions, if it's things of this world, and the verses we have here, of course, in 1 Timothy 5, Paul talks about the money is the root of all evil. And then he talks about the responsibilities of those that are rich, the responsibilities that they have of giving to others. But if you have problems with putting possessions or putting money or putting things ahead of God, then that's something that you're lacking in your life. And maybe that's something that you can add a little bit to your spiritual life. But it doesn't necessarily have to be possessions. It could be family. Look over in Matthew, the 10th chapter. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Look at verse 37. Matthew 10, starting in verse 37. Jesus says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Do you ever place family before God? Do you ever place your children or maybe your children's activities before God? Then you're not giving God 100% of yourself. Maybe that's something that we need to work on this year. Or it could be other relationships. It doesn't have to be family relationships. It could be relationships you have with your friends, putting them first. Or relationships you have with maybe co-workers or classmates. Whatever relationship you have that you place ahead of God means that you're not giving God 100% like He is asking, like He is demanding that we give. Or it could be something like time. Ephesians 5 and 16 talks about we need to redeem the time. When we have time available, are we withholding from God that time and using it in pursuit of other things? Or do we give God all the time that He demands? So that's something else that we can think about. Something else maybe we can work on this year. And finally, not only that, what about our abilities? 1 Peter 4 and 11 talks about that God is the one that gives us every one of our abilities. Do you have any abilities at all? Well, certainly you do. All of us have abilities. God has given us every one of our abilities. Do we use the abilities that God has given Do we use the abilities for ourselves, or do we use our abilities for God? Do we use all the abilities that we have for God all the time? Do we have any abilities that we're withholding from God? Could we be doing more for God? So those are just some of the things as we get into thinking about a self-examination this year, thinking about adding to what is lacking in our life. Maybe these are some of the areas that we're not giving God all of ourselves that God demands. So those are some things we can think of this morning. We'll end with Galatians 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Have you been crucified with Christ? Is it Christ that's living in you, not you living for yourself? So maybe this is something we can work on this year. So let's remember our theme for this year, adding to what is lacking. Do a self-examination. Look at things that are lacking in your service to God. Fix those things. Make a plan. Work on those things. Improve on those things. And I think we can be better off. I think we can have a very, very successful year in 2016. Well, we have some in the audience this morning that aren't Christians. And they have the exact same question that we have as Christians. What do I need to do to have eternal life? Well, to a Christian, we follow after God and keep His commands. To a non-Christian, it's the exact same thing. They need to follow God's commands. God has given specific commands on how to become a Christian. He expects us to believe that He is indeed the Son. Jesus is the Son of God. He expects us to confess that before men. He expects us to repent of our sins, to accept Him as our Savior, to give our lives completely for Him. Then He expects us to wash away the old man of sin through baptism, rising up in newness of life, that we can then live a life totally 100% dedicated to God and dedicated to Christ. If you'd like to become a Christian this morning, everything is in readiness. It won't take you the whole year to make improvements there. You can do that this very moment, this very morning. We ask you to come forward this morning as we stand and sing.